The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I think that was the most satisfying draft I've ever seen. It was satisfying. Like, you ate a meal and everything was there. Steak and potatoes and vegetables and everything. It was all perfect. Started with a little salad or soup or something. Everything. You got all your major food groups and it was delicious. What a draft. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, nerds? Check me out on the ESPN app. Also, SiriusXM Channel 80, The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. How'd your team do? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll take a call right now if someone wants to tell me how their team did. How do you like that? First, it's time for Straight Talk Wireless, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. How's that? Allow myself to introduce myself. I feel like Austin Powers. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
With the third pick, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance.
He may be the biggest boom or bust here. I would bet my money on Trey Lance not busting. Why? Because this guy is wired right.
I agree with Lewis Riddick, who you heard there. Did the 49ers get it right at three? That was the first shakeup of the draft. Everyone knew Trevor Lawrence is going one, Zach Wilson's going two. And then it came. Mac Jones, they traded up to get Mac Jones. What about Justin Fields? Trey Lance. Trey Lance is so impressive. He checks every box except experience. Every box except experience. Kind of like Trevor Lawrence, but he may even have more upside. Who knows? He's fast. He has a big arm. He's accurate. He's smart. He processes well. He is a leader. He's a team guy. Accurate? He takes care of the football. 318 collegiate passes, one interception. And when I asked him about it on First Take yesterday, know what he said? Do you know what he said, Raj? Raj, do you have any idea what he said?
No, what did he say, man? Tell me.
Like, it came out of him like you hit a guy on the knee with the thing and you're testing the reflexes, like a reflex. He said, that's a team thing. Like that. In practice, I throw picks. He goes, in a lot of those games, he goes, some of those throws I had could have been picks. My teammates made plays. Like, it came out of him like it was, like, that's his natural reaction to think about the team. I'll say it again. There are some athletes who are so uncomfortable in their own skin that when you listen to them talk, you're uncomfortable in yours. The examples would be early in their careers, especially Cam Newton and A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. And that's because, in my view, the things they really want to say, they're not supposed to say. So they have to, like, process everything you say. Like, how can I say this in a way that won't, you know, that it won't get me in trouble or gives them the answer that I think they want? And it comes out awkward and, ugh. A guy like Andrew Luck, right? He tells you, or Derek Jeter or someone, he gives you the answer. You go, that's perfect. He doesn't have to think about it because he drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago and he believes this is the way to do things. Boy, that's Trey Lance. You ask the kid anything, he'll turn it around, deflect credit from himself, put it on his teammates, and everything he says shows leadership and humility and yet confidence and, you know. But that was the first shakeup of the draft, and I have a theory about what it might be about other than he may have the highest upside of anyone in the draft. Was that the biggest news? I don't know. Then Atlanta takes Pitts, probably the best available player, right? The Bengals don't go left tackle. They take Ja'Marr Chase. Okay. And then Miami takes Jaylen Waddle. Did everyone know he was going to go before Devontae Smith? I agree with that pick, but that's a great pick. And then I start to think, ooh, you know, the Giants are going to wind up. I'm a Giants fan. They're going to wind up with a great corner or else a great offensive tackle. And then Penei Sewell comes off the board, and the corners come off the board, and then it happens. This is big intrigue. The Cowboys make an interdivision trade with the Eagles, so the Eagles can leapfrog the Giants and grab the receiver they want. The Cowboys are helping the Eagles and hurting the Giants. Oh, but now the Giants turn to pick. Okay, Cowboys, you like that? Watch this. Now we're going to take the best defensive player in the draft, Micah Parsons. And screw your draft, the Cowboys. And did I say the Cowboys? Screw your draft, Cowboys. My daughters watch a cartoon, Teen Titans Go, and Starfire, who's from another planet, puts a the in front of everything. That's what I sounded like. I sounded like Starfire. Take that, the Cowboys. So here it comes. They're going to stick it to the Cowboys. And then Gettleman gets an offer he can't refuse. He can't pass it up. And I was hoping the Giants would take either Parsons or Slater. really good offensive tackle. And instead, the Bears do exactly what they should do. They need Justin Fields. He's still sitting there. I wish the Giants would have taken Justin Fields, actually, because I don't believe Danny Dimes is going to be great. I think he might be good, maybe. I'd like great. I think Justin Fields might be great. And it, by the way, this guy could have maybe been the number one pick in the draft not that long ago. People were like, are you sure Trevor Lawrence is better than Justin Fields? And I don't know, Justin Fields, well, Dwayne Haskins was at Ohio State and it didn't pan out. Dwayne Haskins couldn't run, and Dwayne Haskins had a shallow resume 1 year. Justin Fields has a deep resume, and he can move and throw the ball accurately down the field. Well, he didn't go through his progressions because he didn't have to. Dudes were open. He was hitting everybody. At any rate, the Bears, who've never had a good quarterback in their Super Bowl history, in the Super Bowl era, the best they ever did was Jim McMahon. What, did he make a Pro Bowl? Jim McMahon was pretty good. He wasn't great. He was okay. I wouldn't say when you think of the 85 Bears, you think of their quarterback. And then he comes out and says, actually, the Packers were a better organization than the Bears, hands down. He was the starting quarterback on the Super Bowl champion 85 Bears, which is considered the greatest team in history. He was a third stringer behind Brett Favre and someone else, I'm forgetting who, on Green Bay when they won the Super Bowl, and he preferred Green Bay. Oh, the Bears. Who's the best quarterback of the last 30 years? Jay Cutler? Ooh, you know you're in bad shape. The Bears jump up. They made the Giants the right. They did the right thing. They had to grab Justin Fields. And by the way, Giants could not turn this down. You want to move back nine slots? The Giants get a first, a fourth, and a fifth? Hell yeah, you can't say no to that. So the Giants move back. And then the Cowboys land the guy they want in Parsons. And then, by the way, the Chargers get Slater to protect Justin Herbert's blind side. Slater's can't miss. Ooh, this was such a satisfying draft. And then, have I even gotten to the best part? Bill Belichick didn't even have to trade up and took a quarterback for the first time in his career in the first round. And it's Mac Jones who's been compared to Tom Brady, and it's from Nick Saban. I mean, it's this that whole first round, it was like, oh my God, this is, if you wrote it down, hey, what would be really cool to happen in this draft? That's what it was. Meantime, Paul Feinbaum dropped a fine bomb. That's good. It's perfect. Better than a Woj bomb. A Schefter bomb. A fine bomb. Oh, it's a fine bomb he dropped this morning. I need an Irish brogue to say that. Roger, it's a fine bomb he dropped this morning. On Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Listen to Paul Feinbaum.
I'm more concerned about Bill Belichick's future in New England than I am Mac Jones' future in New England.
Wow. Why?
Because I see a coach who was a perfectionist, who did everything right all those years, who was untouchable, and I see him getting lazy late in his career. I see him making moves that don't remind me of Bill Belichick. And everybody wants to compare Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. There's a difference. Nick Saban has never changed. The money, the championships, he's still the same guy he was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Bill Belichick's not.
Oh, man. I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't think I agree with Paul, but that's a gutsy position to take. One thing about Feinbaum is he thinks something. He'll let you know. You know, the Patriots, they went out and got Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Two tight end set situation. You know, Cam likes to throw the ball in the middle of the field. You know, they can run that offense where they're getting you 4 and 5 yards at a time and killing you like that, actually. They got Aguilar and Bourne. None of these guys are studs, but they're all pretty good. And so a team without a lot of offensive weapons, now the Patriots have some offensive weapons, and they got the young quarterback that seems like a perfect fit. I don't know, and their defense is always good. Seems to me like the Patriots are very live in a suddenly extremely competitive AFC East. The Dolphins with Waddle now and picking up Waddle on that already excellent team, the Bills and the Patriots. And meantime, the Jets, I got to say this about the Jets. They had the best draft so far because not only did they have the guts, the courage of their convictions, eyeballs on Zach Wilson, they think he's the best guy, they take him, you know, other opinions be damned, right? But then unlike my Giants, who have been unable to protect the quarterback or block for the run now in 10 years, haven't gotten the offensive line right. The Jets, who had traded back in the first round, said, oh, Vera Tucker's still there, traded up and grabbed him. And the thing about Vera Tucker is I think you could start him at left tackle. He'd be pretty good. Could hold his own. But at guard, everyone says, this guy's going to the Pro Bowl. He's a Pro Bowl guard. Becton at tackle, who's 6'7", 360 plus, and Vera Tucker at guard, who's 6'4", over 300, and they're both excellent. It's not just they're both excellent and huge. And it's not just the fact that they're huge that makes them excellent, right? So the Jets got their quarterback and have locked down the left side of the line. It was such a satisfying draft. Of course, the Rams didn't have a first-round pick, but the Chargers, too. You got Justin Herbert, who has arm talent unlike anyone except Mahomes and Rodgers. He's in that category with arm talent. And you got the one surefire offensive lineman in the draft, you would think, who could play anywhere on the line in Slater. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. Ryan. Is he there, Raj? Is Ryan Clark there?
I'm here, man.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, I got you now. You know, Raj and Brendan up to their old tricks there.
No, Max. When you introduce someone, just saying, Ryan, that's not an introduction. Ask the man a question. You already introduced him. Ask the man a question.
Well, first you say hello, Raj. First you say hello. Hello, Ryan Clark. How are you today?
What's up, my guy? How are you?
See, hello. It's nice first. What happens with Aaron Rodgers, Ryan?
You know, I truly don't know. I think it's about Aaron Rodgers' commitment to being upset, his commitment to feeling like he has an organization that doesn't value him. And normally when we get into these situations, we always know that the players need to play, right? Especially when it's young guys and they're in contract disputes. But this isn't really a contract dispute. This is an actual feeling. This is a feeling of not wanting to give someone MVP caliber play that doesn't deserve it. And so if Aaron Rodgers is dug in and he decides to hold out, I think if you are the Green Bay Packers, you're going to have to convince yourself that you've been prepared for this moment while creating it. And that's what they've done. When you draft Jordan Love, you start the clock on Aaron Rodgers' last day as a Green Bay Packer. Aaron Rodgers just sped that day up and put it on his time. And so to me, I think Aaron Rodgers is committed to this. I don't believe Aaron Rodgers wants to be there. And I don't think that this could be fixed with contracts or draft picks. Aaron Rodgers has played his last game in Green Bay.
I agree. But you want to hear something? Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. How's that for
What's
an
up,
ID,
bro?
Raj and Brendan? Now get off my back. I'll tell you something about this. I do think it's about the contract. I think that's where the hard feelings differ. And I'll tell you why. I believe, just from having an extraordinarily high IQ, that's me I'm talking about now, and being very handsome, though that's neither here nor there, and living on the earth for 47 years, I think Aaron Rodgers also looked around and saw all the money the young quarterbacks are getting, right? Like, the guarantees are now so huge, and he's thinking, okay, you guys want to draft my replacement? I just won the MVP. I not only showed no signs of slowing down, I'm speeding up. Now give me my dough. And I think the Packers don't like the size of your bonus of your guaranteed money, since it's prorated, that's how you get under the cap, is based on your horizons the team thinks you have. How long do they think you can play? My suspicion is Rodgers wants to be paid as though he's going to play 10 more years. Like, give me that $150 million bonus. And the Packers are like, I don't care how good you are, you're 38. That's my suspicion. But I will tell you something else, Ryan Clark. I'm not convinced that San Francisco doesn't still deal for him. How do you like that? How do you like that? What do you think of that?
Well, I think the San Francisco 49ers would love that. And I think Trey Lance is a more interesting piece to include in some sort of trade package than Mac Jones
Bingo.
Would be, for sure. But what else are they going to give, though, Max? When you give up these things to get Trey Lance, That can never be a straight up trade. It's not going to be.
No, of course
not. An unproven young player and Aaron Rodgers. And so I think that's where the San Francisco 49ers have kind of hurt themselves. Now, I also believe that's why John Lynch made the call before the draft to see, okay, what will it take today? And maybe what will it take in July? What will it take in August? And trying to fill out where the Green Bay Packers were so they can kind of have their ducks in a row. But I believe with the drafting of Trey Lance and the more they get to know him, if he's everything that everyone believes he is, that they fall in love there and they don't get an opportunity to make the move for Aaron Rodgers.
That, see, that may be. But what I'm saying is, you're right. Like, let's take it from the 49ers' point of view, okay? They trade up to grab a quarterback. All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be in Green Bay anymore. If the Niners have Rodgers, it's over. He's from Northern California. He played at Cal, the whole thing. But they call and they get hung up on, basically. So they know the Packers are not trading Rodgers before the draft. There's nothing they could do at that point, right? So what do? They draft the quarterback with the highest upside and the one maybe they believe would also be most appealing eventually to the Packers. Because what I'm hearing, put my ear to the ground, Ryan, is the Packers don't love Jordan Love, right? But maybe they do love, or potentially could love, Trey Lance. At any rate, this is, like, I agree with you. Rodgers is not playing another game for the Packers. I don't think it's possible to keep a real disgruntled QB on a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl. Ryan Clark, what do you think about the Bears' move to get Justin Fields?
I think it was the move that Ryan Pace had to make. I mean, you're in this position that you're in because you made a dumb move for Mitchell Trubisky, right? You move up in the draft, you draft him, and then you don't have a coach that can groom him and bring him along, progress him, teach him. And so now you're in a position where a dude with these amazing traits falls to you. You know, and I said this earlier, let's think about the people that have fallen in drafts or who have not gone one overall and how they've succeeded at quarterback. Patrick Mahomes wasn't a guy that was thought of as a top five pick, but he's picked at 10 because of these crazy traits. Josh Allen at 7, Lamar Jackson at 32, Deshaun Watson at 12, Justin Herbert, even though it's just 6, he was the third of 3 quarterbacks drafted. All these dudes have stupid traits, right? They're athletic. They have these monster arms, all of these things, and they've had early
success.
Unlike
Trubisky, pardon Ryan, unlike Trubisky, they have histories of throwing the ball accurately down the field. They're accurate.
Absolutely. Justin Fields has shown that, and as those other guys have. And so now this guy falls past 10, and you're Ryan Pace, and you're sitting there, and you knew coming into this draft, this could very well be my last draft. Unless something drastically changes for me. Does Andy Dalton change that? Does Nick Foles change that? No, but the 6'2" guy that's 224 pounds, that ran a 4.4, that can throw the football through a wall, that can go to his left and go deep post into the corner, he might be able to change it. He can give us some things that we can do from a play calling standpoint, if we do it right, that we didn't have. And now you add that to all the other pieces we felt like we've always had on this team, and maybe we win. Maybe we get to the playoffs. Maybe we show we deserve another year with this young guy. Let's not mess him up. And I think that's what the drafting of Justin Fields was about. And I think Ryan Pace had the exact right idea.
This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, talking to Ryan Clark, ESPN analyst, of course. You can see him all over a million different ESPN platforms. So the Bears get their man, and they had to move up to do it, and they had to do it. And the Giants had to take the deal, the first, a fourth, and a fifth. And then Mac Jones falls to Bill Belichick. He gets his man, and he didn't even have to lift a finger to get him. He just had to catch him as he fell to him. I think that Mac Jones is set up as a rookie better than any of these other quarterbacks, because I don't believe Trey Lance is going to be given the job over Jimmy G, because I think they're trying to win a Super Bowl right now. I don't think you can do it with a rookie quarterback. I don't think the Bears are set up to win right now because they don't have an offensive line. And you can go, you know, Trevor Lawrence, come on, they drafted a running back in the first round. They're a long ways away. And then finally, Zach Wilson, the Jets had a great first round, but they're not ready to win, and they're in a competitive division now. But I look at Mac Jones, Ryan, 7-9, two plays away from 9-7, the Patriots, right? They got an offensive line. Mm-hmm. They got a defense. They signed a bunch of guys who aren't spectacular, but kind of meat and potatoes, move the sticks kind of guys, right? And with talent, tight ends, the whole thing. And Mac Jones, from Saban to Belichick, reads the defenses, gets the ball where it needs to be, doesn't need to put up big numbers in order to be considered a success. I think he's set up. What do you think about Mac Jones on the Patriots?
I think it's the right spot for him. I think it's a good spot. And you know, sometimes guys say things and you don't necessarily believe it, right? Because if you're Mac Jones and you could have went 3 overall to Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, who everybody feels is the best place to succeed for whatever quarterback in this draft, you think you want to go there. When Mac Jones walked up to the podium faster than he ran his 40, and he says, "This is where I always wanted to go," I believed him. I don't think he was lying. I think he truly, in his intelligence, understood that that was the best place for him, that that was a place that was never going to wish he was mobile. That was a place that was right. never going to wish he could run RPOs. They were going to accept him, love him, and build around him for who he is. And now you have Jonnu Smith. You have Hunter Henry, Nelson Aguilar. You have Kendrick Bourne. And they know every week we can morph into what we need because Mac Jones can handle it mentally. Now, I do think his play is going to be predicated on whether or not Cam Newton is where he was very early on in the season last year or after he came back from COVID. And if Cam Newton is not playing at a high enough level, I believe Mac Jones becomes the starter. And I agree with you, Max, with the way that this team is set up in a 17-game season with Mac Jones, they can win 10, 11, maybe on the upside of 12 games. And that's an amazing year. It's the year that probably puts you in the playoffs, and that's a huge success not only for the Patriots, but for Mac Jones
and
himself.
I think you made the best point, Ryan, and we got to go, but I think you made the best point when you said, look, basically, if Mac Jones goes to the Niners, he's known as the guy, what, we traded up to the 3rd pick for you, and he could even be a really good quarterback and win a bunch of games, but never be an all-pro level guy. And Niners fan, people would complain, but having fallen 15th to the Patriots, he's just got to captain a ship to wins, right? And then everyone's psyched to see him. I totally agree with that analysis. That was Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, we don't say hello or goodbye because Raj just ruthlessly cuts people off and doesn't tell me when they're on the line. And that was Breaking Moves with the ESPN NFL analyst, Ryan Clark.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
With the 15th pick, the 6-time world champion New England Patriots select Mac Jones.
It's not really where you get picked. It's what you do with the opportunity, and that's what Coach Saban told me, so I'm just going to follow that.
You talk to any Alabama coach, 3 words come up: competitor, winner, student. That's a common denominator when it comes to Mac Jones.
What a draft, but we have to, oh yeah, Raw, I'm going to give it to you, with no trivia, Wu-Tang. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We have to break into our draft review with a Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out 1 minute ago, ESPN sources, LeBron James's return from longest absence of his career out since March 20th with a high ankle sprain could come tonight versus the Kings. James plans to test his ankle and make a game time decision. Otherwise, he's likely to return as soon as Sunday versus Toronto. Could be tonight. But what a draft. That's the most satisfying draft I've ever seen. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Are you happy with your team's draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I mentioned a Woj bomb. The phrase bomb, it was invented for Woj, the Woj bombs. But I realize it works better. I was trying to, what could we call it with Schefter? And then Raj came up with some stupid alliterative. That was the problem. It was like a Schefter swing or something. No.
No, a Sizzler. Schefter.
Schefter Sizzler. Just terrible. But then I realized my next guest, Raj, it's perfect. A fine bomb. It's a fine, like with an Irish brogue, it's a fine bomb. Paul Feinbaum joins me on the Goodyear Hotline right now. He can be seen daily, of course, on the SEC Network and heard on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 81. But what a fine bomb you dropped today, Paul, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning.
Max, I go to bed last night. I wake up. I hear the same narrative. It's like go. You know, you remember, you're hungry. You're on your way home. You don't know this because you live in the city.
Yeah.
But you go by Chick-fil-A or Burger King or McDonald's. It seems like every reporter and every analyst went through the drive-through window on what to say about Mac Jones. What do I mean? Here's what I mean. Well, boy, Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. Before anybody in Boston calls in or writes me or whatever, tweets, you don't need me to tell you how. I know how, I've watched all of Bill's World Championships with Tom Brady and none without him. I get it, okay? But Bill Belichick is not the same coach today that he was back then because he doesn't have the best player of all time. And I think, as I said about the takes, they were lazy. I think Bill has gotten a little bit lazy, not in terms of working, but in terms of cutting corners. He's got a son on the staff for the last couple of years. Could his son get a job anywhere else? No. He's got a defensive coordinator right now that I don't think is up to NFL standards. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that he should, you know, ride off into the sunset and Bob Kraft should throw him out the window. I was just making an observation about the media just automatically assuming that just because Bill Belichick does something, it's right. If Bill Belichick had been doing what he had been doing previously, he wouldn't have been in the middle of the draft. He would have been at the end of the draft like normal.
See, the reason you know who Paul Feinbaum is here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, is because Paul might say something that you disagree with. You might just disagree with him, think he's crazy, whatever. But he has a reason for saying it. And once he has determined that that's what it is, he's got the guts to say it. That's why you know who Paul Feinbaum is. What a Feinbaum that was, Paul. Bill Belichick has gotten lazy in his old age. Okay, now let me present you with some evidence to the contrary, and let's get into it. I look at the Patriots season last year, and I see that Belichick really relies on preparation, the opposite of laziness, right? But he didn't have a preseason, and they couldn't practice, and he had a brand-new quarterback because Brady made sure the cupboard was bare. No Jimmy G for him, no real backup quarterback. So he brings in Cam, a totally different kind of quarterback, a guy coming off a catastrophic injury, right? And Belichick tried to keep a competitive team around Brady, so they didn't have a lot of cap room. So he gets a deal on Cam in a COVID year, coming off a catastrophic injury, no preseason, no practice. And then Cam got COVID. The facilities got shut down, less practice. Cam had to recover from COVID. Paul, they came two plays away from going 9-7 in spite of all that. I don't know. I feel like, given the circumstances, that was an impressive year last year, as recently as last year. And where it could have been better, it seems to me, is that Belichick really wasn't able to prepare as much as he normally does. That's usually his great advantage. But that would seem to me to be the opposite of lazy.
Max, we've been friends a long time. I respect everything you said until you said this with a straight face. Bill Belichick was two plays away from going 9-7. I mean, you know, that's one of the most preposterous things I think I've ever heard coming out of your mouth, my friend.
Well, that's saying something.
I mean, you don't talk about legends in the same way that losing coaches at the end of the year as they're getting fired, and you've heard this conversation a million times in a Jets news conference. We were three plays away from having a chance on the final Sunday had we won and had we beaten the best team in the league to make. I mean, that's garbage. You know that. Come on, Max. That doesn't work with Bill Belichick.
I think you're bringing up a good counterpoint.
This is not the same Bill Belichick from 10 years ago. This is a Bill Belichick that's being buffed and refined and shined for the wax museum. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that's a good rejoinder, that the idea that look, he's a fantastic, he's the all-time greatest coach in all this, and why is that okay to go to? But 7-9, even as was, given all the things I just said, like we give Tomlin great credit for going 8-8 when, he didn't have Roethlisberger. Well, he didn't have Brady, he went 7-9.
Max, yeah. How did the greatest coach of all time do the year before?
Won the Super Bowl. They had the greatest quarterback.
Sure about that?
Oh, no. Sorry. No, that's right. They lost in the playoffs in the first round 2 years before he won the Super Bowl. They lost in the playoffs in the first round and uncharacteristically lost a must-win game to Miami last game of the season. So suddenly they didn't have a bye in the first round and simply had to win one home playoff game to get to the AFC Championship. A point well taken. But I just, like, last year, Paul, not only did they go 7-9, forget about two plays away, they beat a lot of good teams. Like, last year they beat the Dolphins and the Bills, and they beat a lot of teams.
One more point that I made today that didn't get much attention, and I realize college and pros are different, but I was doing a comparison between Saban and Belichick. And at this point in Saban's career, what does he do? He doubles down on quality coaches.
Yep.
He brings – he loses Steve Sarkisian, maybe the best offensive coordinator in football, and he brings in Bill O'Brien, and he brings in Doug Marrone, two NFL head coaches who both failed at where they were, but they are assistant coaches. And I just don't like when – I've seen this too many times when the old coach decides that he's bulletproof and he starts giving jobs to his family. I hate that.
Yeah,
it never works.
Yep.
And that's what annoys me the most. And by the way, I've heard this from people in that organization, and people can claim I don't know what I'm talking about. Welcome to it. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't say that on this show and on this network if I didn't know.
You're very credible, Paul. If you say that, you're hearing things and you're noticing things, and I think that's legitimate. To ask the question. I mean, that's what I like about you. You make up your mind. You go, okay, here, I'm going to say it. I don't care what people think about it. And you're contrasting that with Nick Saban, who you believe hasn't changed. Before I let you go, Paul, what kind of season the Patriots going to have next year with Mac Jones?
I thought I heard Bill say the Cam stole the quarterback. He said that with a straight face. Mm-hmm. He wins a special Oscar for saying that. The Oscars have come back on ABC for one more moment to give Bill that honorary Oscar. I don't think they're going to be that great. I think they'll have a season similar to last year. And then a year from now, when we're having the conversation about Bill's future, you won't be able to come back at me and say, well, he did, you know, it was a COVID year, Paul. He didn't have time to prepare.
Yeah. Well, the great Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Dropping a fine bomb. Paul, thanks as always. I look forward. You know, I wanted to do a thing like a simulcast, like we call each other's shows at the same time. Somehow, like, the segment is on both of our shows. And
Max,
could
you
be
have no idea how popular you are in one of my favorite and highest rated areas, the state of Alabama.
Really?
It would be epic.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I would love to do it. The great Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen.
Timer. We have to do it.
We got to do it. That's it. We're going to do a simulcast. Raj, I don't care what you say. The great Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Catch him on SEC Network, and obviously he's heard on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 81. Five wide receivers taken in the first round. Who reached? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick right now what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Are you happy with your team's draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Bears. We're in the zone last night. You realize when that skit was on SNL back in the day, the Bulls were in the middle of two different three-peats, and the Bears weren't even any good anymore, and all... Like, it made sense because, like, all they cared about in Chicago were the Bears. And this is the first real quarterback they've had basically ever in the Super Bowl era. Anyway, they were in the zone last night. They got their man, Justin Fields, in the zone. Is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Five wide receivers taken in the first round. Ja'Marr Chase at 5 to the Bengals. Now, listen, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, those are probably the two most blue-chip guys at quarterback and receiver in the last two drafts. You know, quarterback a year ago, receiver this year. Jalen Waddle to the Dolphins. I love it because Tua, who seemed a little reluctant to try and force the ball down the field or get those chunk plays, now can get those chunk plays without throwing the deep ball, although I think he can throw the deep ball. The Eagles traded up with the Cowboys to select Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith certainly gives Jalen Hurts a chance, although keep in mind, with all these quarterback receiver combinations, Tua was preferred to Jalen Hurts. They were on the same team. Tua was preferred. Well, Jalen Hurts switched teams, right? Switched, you know, transferred. And Devontae Smith might be the best receiver in this draft, but maybe not the most explosive, right? And he's also more slightly built. I would say the quarterback receiver combinations in order: 1, Burrow Chase; 2, Tua Waddle; 3, Hurts Smith. Although I think right away, because the Dolphins are going to be really good, I believe the Tua Waddle connection might be the best one. The Giants took to Kadarius Toney at 20, and I wouldn't have taken him. I mean, it's not a bad pick. He's a dynamic player, can do everything, right? But I thought the Giants needed offensive line help, and I thought they needed, pass rushing help. But They felt they needed more offense. I think, I don't know, Galladay and Engram and Slayton and Shepard seems like a night by Saquon Barkley, a lot of weapons. But this, he is really like Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney on the same team is already a whole lot of. And then you're talking about Slayton and Galladay. If these guys are healthy, they're going to be a problem. And the Giants had to trade out of the spot where they could have gotten Slater, who I really wanted, or else Parsons, who I also really wanted, because the Bears were offering too much value. You just can't say no to it. Are you going to say no to a 1, a 4, and a 5 to move back 9 slots and get a guy as dynamic as Kadarius Toney? I don't think you can. And the Ravens got Lamar Jackson some help. They got Rashad Bateman. It was such a satisfying draft. Jordan in Nevada, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, how you doing today?
Go ahead, Jordan.
All right, so I'm a Raiders fan, and it wouldn't be a the draft for another, you know, without a Raiders first round blunder. So, moreover, I just want to see if you can play devil's advocate and justify the Raiders picking Alex Leatherwood, a guy that most people had going late 60s, early 70s.
I can't. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. That's basically Gruden and them saying, we see things other people don't. Well, if that's true, guys, why aren't you better? You've been there a bunch of years already. So why aren't the Raiders better? You know, well, he was the highest guy on our board. I appreciate having the courage of your convictions, but trusting yourself. But at a certain point, you need results, and you reached. There are three guys ahead of him. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Much more coming up.